Podcast.
I am one of the few people who think the Patriots are actually going to be really good this year.
Let's go!
Oh, God.
It's me. It's Kevin Wiles.
What a shocker. Surprise.
All right, we are back on the R. Bill Simmons podcast. It's been a while in the life of Tribe, the host, myself, and for those who don't know, Tribe is Tribe Has Spoke from the Reddit. I initially got a Reddit username a decade ago to talk about Survivor, so that's where Tribe comes from. And we're back. We're back. We got Doug on the pod today. From Twitter, we talked months ago wanting to get a pod out, and I reached back out. You're gracious enough to come on, so thanks a lot, man. What's going on?
Oh, man, excited to be here. Thanks for having me. You know, I never thought I'd be on a podcast about a podcast, but kind of fell into your content a few months back, and it's nice to see somebody else with the same thoughts. So, you know, super excited to be on and kind of just dive into some things here.
Yeah, I love that. And for the listeners out there, basically, I just kept seeing you come and reply to my tweets with some banger responses, seeing you tweet about Simmons. So I was like, look, I got to have this guy on if he wants to come on, because he's putting out great content. So I'm pumped to get you in audio form. Before we dive into our list of topics we had planned, though, I think we got to do a bit of Bill Simmons current events. What did you think of the fact that LeBron and JJ, two nemesis of Bill, they're now doing a podcast together?
I just found it hilarious. I think it was you who put out a tweet today saying this kind of explains all the petty shots at LeBron. And you know, I'm in my early 30s. I'm a LeBron fan as a kid, and I always knew Bill had it out for LeBron. You know, he's always beating the Celtics, and then he goes to the Lakers. So it was just always funny. The last, like, month, it's just been, like, one, like, jab after another. And I'm like, well, this is just a little weird. And now it makes sense. Bill had to have heard from someone this was coming out. So it's LeBron, who he clearly has a thing against. JJ, who's throwing, like, jabs at him, you know, teaming up for a podcast. And obviously it'll be on audio, which Bill just refuses to, I mean, on video, so which Bill refuses to do. So it's like everything Simmons dreads all in one.
Well, and even to top it off, the Jason Gallagher, I think is the guy. He used to work at the Ringer as a radio guy. And he's the one that is producing this podcast.
That's even more funny. The former employee of Bill just linking up with two huge names. Huge, like way bigger than anything Simmons expected Gallagher to get into, I would assume.
Oh, 100%. And maybe, you know, maybe let's discuss this, because this is one of the things we want to talk about. Why are we seeing this? Why are we seeing so many of these Ringer and Grantland people go on to bigger and better things once they left? I mean, you talk about a Kevin Clark as well. That's a great recent example. Shay and Jason are doing their own podcast. It's just bizarre to me that Bill couldn't have kept any of these people in house. JJ Redick. I mean, heck, if Bill was doing things better, maybe this LeBron and JJ podcast is at the Ringer.
Yeah, that's been the big head scratcher for me the last few years, to be honest, because when the Ringer first got rolling, Bill had a lot of talent, a lot of young up and coming talent. And it was striking to see this brand new company, like how it was able to just bring all these people in from a startup, essentially. I mean, he had the name, but took chances on a lot of people, and he hit on a lot of them. And it's been a little odd that he's lost so much over the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. I get it. People move on, you know, different career paths, move on to different opportunities. That's not odd, but it's been a lot of his better talent. And I think it just kind of has come down to, kind of stopped promoting them on his own pod. And I get it. It's the Ringer Podcast Network. That's what he's known for. That's what, you know, the company has kind of started to do. But a big thing right now is video, and his company is just not promoting it. And, you know, someone like Kevin Clark is on an opportunity. He clearly wanted to be on camera and on TV, and that's what he's moved on to. And so I think it just came down to Bill just wasn't offering enough. And it sounds like he was a little hesitant to even, like, grow the company in the direction that current media is going into.
Yeah, and I think there's a few things going on, because number one, I think you laid it out exactly. It's the video issue. I've talked about it on this podcast before with the guests, where the vision of the future of media, I'm not sure Bill has nailed it in 2023, 2024, this kind of time frame. He nailed it before with his columns, writing from the fan perspective, mixing in pop culture. He nailed it with podcasts. Grantland was epic. So he nailed all those three things, but he has not nailed video. So I think that hurts him. I think secondly, his own work has suffered in quality, which we're going to get to. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. Everybody who's listening to him for over a couple years knows that. And then the third, I think, is he has gotten more arrogant as he's gotten older. And maybe even by arrogant, also is not as susceptible and open to implementing new ideas. So if you throw all three of those in a cocktail, and maybe even just assume that the Ringer, it's not really even run by Bill much anymore, it's the people under him, you throw all that together and you go, maybe the Ringer wasn't the best creative outlet for people. And I think everybody, I mean, we got Mark Titus going to Fox Sports, going to Barstool. I mean, he said he's making 10 times more than he was making at the Ringer. So, like, to me, when I heard that, it's a negative for Bill regardless, because if he's making 10 times more and he's producing a very similar product, that means Bill was underpaying him like crazy. But if he's making 10 times more because the product is out to more listeners now, it means that the Ringer wasn't a great growth area and it didn't provide him enough growth opportunities to grow it. So it's bad either way.
Yeah, and you nailed it. Bill was the forefront of content in the early 2000s and then in the mid 2000s. He got ahead of things before, you know, other avenues did, and he really was ahead of it. And it seems like you mentioned it, like his arrogance. It's like he's had a ton of success. I mean, you're gonna have an ego, but he's been like really hesitant to evolve to the next chapter. And you know, video content is such a big thing in the last couple of years. And myself, like, I don't need a video to enjoy a podcast or a conversation. But you know, a lot of people are replacing just their TV intake with just YouTube videos. Like, they just, that's what their screen time is now. I'm going to watch, you know, this video. And he just, his refusal or his own like stubbornness to like, what I've done has worked. And, you know, funny enough, like, his guy is Bill Belichick. And one of the things that, you know, was his downfall was his stubbornness. And Bill, like, unknowingly is kind of just following suit. It's like, what I've done has always worked, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, the parallels there. I mean, man, because they're goats. I mean, Bill Belichick is the goat of coaching. Bill Simmons is the goat of a sports media member, but he absolutely has followed in his footsteps. He has not evolved. All right, let's go back to the beginning here, because what I did, I went through your Bill Simmons tweets, because you have a lot. and what I'm going to do is we'll put your Twitter handle, obviously, in the tweets, hyping up the pod, and then in the pod description. Because what I found in those tweets, Doug, is it's a historical artifact of what a Bill Simmons super fan then evolved into over the course of many years, over questionable podcast guests, over lack of effort and focus and interest in sports. We have gone from an epic Bill Simmons fan to someone who in 2024 is going, what's wrong with this guy? And to the point where you are now on a podcast called the R. Bill Simmons Podcast, being critical of Bill. It is, so you might not know this, but this is going to go in the record books, I think, for describing the downfall of Bill Simmons.
Yeah, I never thought, you know, as a super fan, I'd, you know, evolve into complaining about his content. And it's hilarious. You know, I've been listening to him for over a decade, and I just can't quit them. But like, I find myself just complaining about the content, but at the same time, I can't stop listening to the content.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, all right, let me start and let me ask you a question. Do you remember your first tweet that included the words Bill Simmons in it?
Oh man, this is probably old. I don't.
All right, so it's 2012 and you're replying to someone who they have since deleted their tweet, but you said at the DK24 started today, almost 200 pages in. It's fantastic. I love Bill Simmons.
That's what I said.
So it was that book of basketball?
It must have been because, I read the book of basketball in, late spring, early summer of 2012.
There it is.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I do remember reading that. I remember reading that book right at the end of high school for myself.
and that's an incredible one. So, all right, now I'm going to go through some tweets and then I'll have you give a little bit of context for them. So you've got 2013, how are you not a GM yet, Bill? Preferably for the Kings, who have been going nowhere for the last 7 years. I'll admit I used to feel the same way because now the contrast is he actually sounds dumb talking about the trades, but he used to sound smart, I think, right?
I as you know, my early 20s, like late teens, I really thought Bill Simmons could run a team. And maybe it was just me being a fan, but he really did sound smarter than half the people like running the league. And ironically, he was making fun of all these bad GMs and they were really bad, but then now it's like flipped on him. It's like, well, Bill, you absolutely couldn't be a GM.
Yeah,
But I
I
do remember thinking
agree with you.
this guy should run a team. He'd do better than half these GMs.
Yeah, I mean he built his brand on the atrocious GM summit, and you're reading these pieces going, he's accurately killing some of these guys for absolutely terrible picks. I mean, wasn't it David Kahn with the Timberwolves who
Yes.
hit on two? Isaiah Thomas was a favorite punching bag. So I mean this, it, and they were very entertaining as well. See, they were very entertaining as well as informative, and I just think like it's just not even close to bullshitting with Russillo. That's like what we're talking about with Bill Simmons of analysis is so different a decade ago or 15 years ago versus today.
He was so locked in 10, 15 years ago. He was writing weekly. His pod was a different format, and you could just tell, obviously he's not deep diving on the film on these teams. It's never been his thing. He's not Zach Lowe, but he clearly was, locked in to like the teams on a week-to-week basis, the players, even the financial side of things, like making fun of these contracts and these picks. Like, he was never a college basketball guy, but he did have an understanding of like who, the top 15 guys in the draft. Like, he knew what was going on, and he knew enough to, be informative and also apply a lot of humor to it because his references would make sense because he got both sides of the joke.
So you had a run here, and this just for all the younger listeners out there that didn't experience this in real time, Bill Simmons fans that got to have the summer of 2013, it was epic because so we had Grantland, which you mentioned. Okay, so you had a tweet in May 2013. Outside of Bill Simmons, the entire ESPN NBA halftime crew is awful. All these people need to be on TNT. Totally true. We're seeing it nowadays too. The ESPN show is terrible. Bill Simmons was a breath of fresh air. I know that I don't like him on any given Wednesday, but on NBA Countdown, and on the NBA draft too, which was like a month later, he worked on those as the wonky historical guy, willing to kind of make a joke here and there, give you some context, and it was good chemistry. And it worked. The Homerism worked to a beautiful moment where in the 2013 NBA draft, his guys get traded, and boom, we get live reaction, which you were tweeting about. I mean, it was perfect.
He was, people kind of throw jabs at him now for his failed TV show, and yes, that didn't work, and it was a failed experiment. Whatever, it happens. He took a chance on the show, But he was good on ESPN on both those shows. And he was locked into the league at that time. He never was afraid to make like a joke, poke fun at something. And you could just tell he was really locked into wanting to create a good TV show at that point. Like he just was itching to, have conversation and give his opinion. And then, that show is just kind of, he's even mentioned, it's just set up to fail where it's like 30-second sound bites, but you could tell like they have something here, but they're just making everyone talk in 30-second increments. And it's like, well, this isn't any good, but like Bill sees where, and you could, I kind of felt bad for him. It's like they're putting him in this show and he's known for podcasting, long form and these long articles, and they're making him have 30-second takes here. And they're like, they were underutilizing him, funny enough, back then.
Yeah. Well, and he's talked about it for sure that the format of those shows, at least how ESPN does it, doesn't work. Like, I feel like I'm not comparing Bill and saying he's Barkley, but Barkley on Inside the NBA, he gets a lot of leeway.
Yeah.
You let him talk for a minute and a half, 2 minutes. You let him cook. And then when needed, Ernie can kind of reel him back in. A Kenny can too. That's what Bill needed at a show for him to work, and he just didn't have that because Sage wasn't a good host. And then, I mean, he had a great chemistry with Jalen, so I guess Jalen was kind of reeling him in. Hey, don't get fired, Bill. So I guess he did have that, but yeah, he didn't have a good host, and he didn't have the proper infrastructure that allowed him and allowed the show in general to have a little bit more leeway than they actually did.
Yeah, they kind of pigeonholed him. And you mentioned Jalen because at that time, Grantland was still going and he was doing his, NBA preview content
Yes.
at Grantland. And him and Jalen had all these videos. Funny enough, Bill did video back then. He was doing these videos with Jalen previewing all the teams. And it was my favorite thing they produced in that couple year stretch. It was absolutely hilarious. It was great banter, long form conversation. And, Jalen, funny enough, is only with ESPN. He became the hot take guy because what they had him doing. But he was also really into the league at that point. He hadn't been out of the league too long. He was putting in the grunt work to make it in media. And him and Bill produced a really good video series. And, you were hoping it would translate to the Countdown show, but you're right. It was kind of set up to fail from the beginning. I mean, honestly, anybody you put on in that segment is not going to have success. And it makes sense why Bill is still so obsessed with talking about these studio shows.
Yeah.
For someone like myself, I have no interest in them. It's just 30-second sound bites and you move on. And Bill's always talking about it on the pod or tweeting it. And I'm always like, why do you care, Bill? Like, you could just not watch it. But he still is like bummed that it didn't work with him because he does have good visions for stuff like that. And I think it still eats at him that it was a failed experiment.
I think so too, and I think it's not only ego, but it's also, I think he knows that the show could have worked
Yeah.
because they had such good talent and he was good at it. So, and yeah, so in the summer of 2013, and you, for the record books, you tweeted, I loved Bill and Jalen previews. I did too. Absolutely loved it. They were amazing for Grantland. All right, I got a couple more comments, and then we're going to zoom forward several years until when the negative started happening, when the pain started coming, and the turn for Bill Simmons becoming the Bill Simmons of 2024. But yeah, final couple comments so we can touch on this a bit. Bill Simmons is the man, best writer today. And then my day always gets 10x better when Bill Simmons releases his mailbag. Those were the days, man. They're gone now.
He's always mentioned his fingers don't work. And I get it. He's older now. Like, he's doing a lot more things in life. It's harder to write the column. But that was prime Bill Simmons. His mailbags, his articles, they were absolutely just hit after hit. He mixed in all his, historical knowledge of sports, the gambling, the humor, the pop culture references. I mean, I remember it might have been 2010, and this is when the Clippers were the joke. And he wrote an article that I actually printed out from the internet because I wanted to show, like, this was like before smartphones. I wanted to show my friends at school. I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever read. Like, you guys like the NBA, please read this. Like, he just made fun of everyone under the sun, and it was just like, this guy is just a genius. Like, he's just mixing in, you know, sports with pop culture, with humor, and just mixing it all into one, and he's just nailing it. And it, like, to be there when he was, like, you know, creating that kind of content, it makes total sense why he became so popular.
Yeah, it's the Bill Simmons, you know, I'll be, as a writer, he used to say, if I'm seeing this great player, like, I'll be bouncing my grandkids on my knee or on my lap about this. Like, we'll be bouncing our grandkids going, we were reading Bill Simmons in the prime and listening to Bill in the prime. So it was, for anybody out there who's newer to him, that the history is incredible. Okay. So now let's go to when it all started going wrong. And again, like, this is why I love your Twitter history, because you've got it all. We get March 2018. And I think what I'm going to quote your tweet from March 2018. And I think what you wrote here, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Simmons fans worldwide felt the same thing, probably including myself. So here it goes. I finished every single Bill Simmons podcast I've ever started. He's my favorite writer and podcaster. I'll go down swinging defending him. But KD was so bad on that podcast, I had to turn it off 45 minutes in. KD said not to rank or compare players. Isn't that what makes sports fun?
I do remember that. I remember when he had KD on those pods, and I was like, "What?" I did have the thought, "What are we doing here, Bill? What are we doing here? Are we really need to pander to KD? Are you that desperate to have him on your podcast?"
It was tough, man.
I get it. Like, you know, you can't kill somebody and then, you know, want them to come on your podcast. But Bill's whole career was based off of just making fun of everybody and just calling it how it was. And it was just so off brand. I get it. It's a big deal. Like, Kevin Durant was, you know, one of the faces of the league then and still is. And it was a big deal to have him on the pod. But I was like, these are not the Bill Simmons podcast that everyone, you know, enjoys. It was just a different vibe.
Yeah, something changed, and it felt like, and maybe this is too simplistic, but if we go before KD, it never felt that it was work for Bill. Like, Bill would have somebody on, and they're just having a conversation. So regardless of who it was, you know, Bill sits down. He did used to do more prep back in the day, but yeah, in the Grantland era, he's not doing that much prep. He's having the conversation, but he's still pop culture and sports relevant at that point, or at least he has a better knowledge of it, so he has an easier time formulating questions. And with KD, I think that shifted to where it almost felt like, oh, it was work. Like, hey, like, I've got a podcast deal with KD, and I'm doing 5 pods with him over the next 18 months, and it's a transactional deal because KD wants to get himself out there, and he does it through someone like Simmons, and he's going to look better because he wants to do these business ventures, or he wants to invest, and he wants to become the face of the league. And then Bill obviously is doing it. He's on this startup website. Maybe he wants to get some funding, or he wants to sell it. So he really wants to get those download numbers, and Kevin Durant would be a great get. So it felt very transactional to me. It didn't feel like a smooth conversation, and it was so evident, whatever it was, whatever that feeling was that we're describing here, that they pretty quickly, like, stopped doing them because they were so bad after a while. And long-term listeners like me, reverse a couple years ago, and same with you, we would have loved, oh my goodness, Kevin Durant on the pod? Incredible. But after a couple of them, I'm like, fuck it, man. I'm not listening to this anymore because KD's giving me nothing. Bill's asking bad questions. And it's almost like KD is making fun of like the podcasting genre in the first place of, oh, why are you guys ranking players? Okay, KD, then don't even go in the podcast because that's what all Bill Simmons is doing these days.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. It did feel like, you know, a business, you know, transaction. Like, I want your platform. I'm a big name. Let's just, you know, make a podcast. But Bill is not the right guy to go to if you want that kind of setup. I'm sure there are people in media who could have done that better for KD, but Bill's whole shtick over the years is narrative, ranking players, lists, legacy talk, just talking like the guys in a barbershop would, right? Just very casual, making fun of things. And it was like KD was unaware of what Bill Simmons does. And so it became this just awkward conversation, if you want to call it that. And you're right, KD then was just like making fun of like everything that Bill has become famous for. And after a couple, I was like, I'm not even sure what they're even giving me here. It's just like this forced conversation.
Yeah, it was nothing. And then do you remember the one where the business manager was eating pretzels or something?
Oh, what is his guy? His guy's
Rich,
name?
Rich Kleinman, I think.
Rich Kleinman. Yeah, I was just like, why is he here? Like, it was just like, Bill, 5 years ago, you would have laughed at the idea of this. Like, why are you so desperate to have this guy on? This isn't good. And they're just using you. Like, Bill, you're Bill Simmons. Like, I don't think you need Kevin Durant to, like, promote your podcast here.
Yeah, he didn't need to do it. But yeah, I think Bill selfishly, he viewed KD as basically the next guy after LeBron.
Sure.
And so he's thinking, if I can be tight with KD, that's going to be helpful for my career later on. Clearly it wasn't. And then the other thing, if we fast forward now to present times, I mean, Bill overranking Durant in his all-time rankings. I mean, that was atrocious for a while. He was saying, I retweeted this video the other day, so people probably saw it, but if not, I'll retweet it or quote with this podcast again. There's a podcast with Jackie McMullen, who we'll get to in a second, where Bill says KD is top 10 all time, a couple years ago from 2021. Unreal. No way he's top 10. And now Bill has gone off that to where a couple podcasts ago, not only did Bill say he's not top 10, but Bill said he's on the outside looking in of the Pantheon, which means I believe Bill's Pantheon is 15 to 16 now. So it basically means that at best Durant is the 16th best player, which to me sounds much more reasonable. And so I'm glad that Bill has now found the accurate ranking, at least according to the Book of Basketball, and he doesn't like trades and all that stuff. But that was bad for a while there, where he was really just dismissing any negative against KD as that wasn't his fault. No, you know, no reason to hate on KD, when in reality he was just babying him.
He became like public defender number one of Kevin Durant. And it was like, are you punking us, when he kept putting him like around, you know, 9, 10, 11 in his ranking, wherever he had him. But yeah, it was really high. And it was like, Bill, he's not coming back on the podcast. You don't need him back on the podcast. You can call him out for the BS that he's, you know, been pulling the last few years. Things are weird. They haven't won. He's always hurt. If this was LeBron, you would just be mercifully just dragging him through the mud. But because it's Kevin Durant, it's like, let's play public defender for KD. And myself and my friends were having this discussion. It's like, can you believe he's doing it again? And I wonder if you mentioned, yes, I do remember that recent pod. He's like, he's out of the Pantheon. I wonder if the turning point was in the summer when they were talking about trade value and Joe House just flat out made fun of him on a podcast, flat out made fun of him for having him above LeBron and citing all these issues with LeBron. And Joe House was like, he plays less games than LeBron. What has he done in 6 years? And just laughed at him. And it was hilarious to see House do it. And Bill gives his patent, and when someone disagrees, well, yeah, and then just moved on. I wonder if it was like, I can't do this with Kevin Durant anymore. I'm just now being, I'm a joke now.
So I know exactly what you're referring to, and the reason I do is because I clipped that podcast video and that recording, and that's one of the most liked and retweeted tweets in my history because people absolutely love Bill getting a dose of reality, a dose of sanity. Joe House calling out that exactly what you just said, if KD was LeBron, he would be feeling completely differently on it. And so I'm gonna do I'm gonna do a description of a meme, which I know isn't great for the medium, but I saw this one. You have a meme in response to Bill defending KD once again. So for everybody out there, it's the Mel Gibson directing Passion of the Christ, where Mel is looking normal and he's got a bloody Jesus right next to him. And so the meme is NBA history according to Bill Simmons. So Mel Gibson, normal guy, is quote literally every other NBA player in history, and bloody Jesus is Kevin Durant. And that's exactly what it was for 5 straight years.
I know exactly what you're referring to. And that's what it seemed like every single time. It's like, Bill, let's move on. He's not coming back on the podcast. Like, you don't have, like, I don't even know if you actually believe it anymore, Bill, but you could stop telling us.
Yeah. All right. And now let's do a little Jackie Mack, because in observing and looking at your tweets, you wouldn't say you're a Jackie Mack fan, is that correct?
I am not. I get why she's had success in her career. I get why people have enjoyed her work. She's a terrible podcast guest, just terrible.
Yeah, and I think we're kind of now getting into the second phase here of what's wrong with Bill in this current iteration. Because okay, number one, we identify Kevin Durant, something's off there, the vibe's off, it's more transactional. And then we're going, oh wait, you're bringing in Jackie Mack as a consistent guest, and she's doing terribly. I mean, I was looking back at some stuff that you were tweeting about, and some stuff from the subreddit back then as well, where she's just completely making errors. She's missing context. She's thinking one guy played 20 games last season when he played 60 games, like terrible stuff like that. And then I think the cherry on top of it all is everything always came back to Bird and the 86 Celtics. So
Everything.
Basically, not only do we have a mediocre basketball analyst at best, and a mediocre is nice,
Yes.
we also have a second, everything goes back to Bird and the 86 Celtics. We already have Bill Simmons doing that. So, like, okay, so if we're long-term Bill Simmons fans, okay, we drop off with the KD interviews. Now we're dropping off with Jackie Mack pods being terrible.
I don't even get why I get it. That's he's friends with her, so there's a camaraderie there. But Bill, why do you think that Jackie Mack is for your current demo? Her thing is like she's written articles, she's interviewed players, but she's retired at this point. If correct me if I'm wrong, but I think she had stepped away from her day to day covering the league. So one, she's not even like really keeping up with the league. It's not her job anymore. Like I can't imagine she cared to as much, and she's clearly not plugged into what's going on. She's just like messing up basic facts, and everything was just we're referring to all these players in the 80s, and Bill's thing is I don't want all these older players to be forgotten. Totally get it, Bill, but all this pod is talking about players from the 80s, and like half your guests weren't alive then, and you're doing this in like the middle of the NBA season. Like, do this in August when you need some content. Like, can we cover the league?
Yeah, and they would be, and this is a common issue with Bill in his current iteration, they would be very similar podcasts. So it wasn't like they were touching on different things. It was very similar topics. And then, of course, always going back to these 80s stories, which she would tell the same stories every podcast.
Every podcast, it was like, am I listening to the right one? Didn't I listen to this one already? Like, he made the joke in August that he didn't want to do the NBA hamster wheel, but he was doing like the 1985 hamster wheel with Jackie Mack every time. It's like, Bill, this was fine for a one-off, but you're just discussing the same topics over and over with Jackie. It's the same convo. I don't feel like I'm getting anything new with her new appearance. It's just like, why? I just was baffled why he thought she was a good podcast guest. And she didn't even make her career in all, she was a writer. So, like, obviously she's not going to be good at this forum. She's not even, you know, keeping up with the league day-to-day. She stepped back from her duties there. So it's like, what is she bringing to the table here? This would have been good for a one-off pod, tell a bunch of old stories. That would have been cool. Just end it there. Just a one-off guest, but you're like wanting to have her recurring. It was just very odd to me. It's like, I don't know why he thought the audience was craving that kind of content.
Well, and then this speaks to what we were talking about earlier, which is, does Bill Simmons in 2024 know where things are going? He used to. But he was bringing on Jackie Mack. That's not where things were going.
No, you know, with how, you know, especially with how fast paced like all these sports leagues are, and there's just so much to be able to cover in them. Like, why are we going 40 years backwards here, Bill? Like, there's a lot going on in the NBA, and you know, I don't expect him to be able to, you know, follow all of it and hit on all these teams. Like, there's a bunch of smart people covering the league and these teams, and you can talk about what's happening in real time, and it's like, nope, let's take it back to my childhood, because that's when the Celtics were winning titles.
Yeah, it's insane. Okay, so we've chronicled these two, and again, I'm just so happy because you have just given us the almanac here. So now we get into some additional ones. So I'm going to read off some tweets for you, and then have you react to it. So this is as early as June 2018. In response to someone saying that the Ringer wasn't doing that well, you say that I've been a Bill Simmons fan, but I'm struggling to get behind the Ringer lately. I feel like it should be way better. Okay, so that starts in 2018. I think a lot of people felt the same way. Then we get some Solak tweets.
So
you've got, I mean, please do not have Solak on tomorrow's $1 million picks. We don't want him. Just have Schrager and call it a day. In all caps, we don't want Solak twice a week. Make it stop. And then just this past September, responding to Solak himself, you say the public is not thrilled when Solak says he's thrilled about this article. Oh, how he missed the days of Kevin Clark and Robert Mays. So that's interesting. And then one more here is we've got a Ruiz. I think we have a Ruiz take as well. Where you're not that happy that Ruiz is on the pod. So I think we can identify the third leg of the decline of the Bill Simmons podcast. The Ringer lackeys are not that good on the pod.
They're not that good on their own pod, let alone Bill's pod. You know, Kevin Clark and Robert Mays were awesome together. An elite NFL podcast, you know, good chemistry, knew the league. I didn't think they were trying to hot take me, but they weren't trying to like sound smarter than they were. Then he had, like, I get it. They moved, you know, Mays moved on. This is a while ago. And then, you know, Kevin Clark has recently moved on. I, for the life of me, cannot understand why Simmons thinks those two guys are good at producing content for his website. I'm sure they know more about the X's and O's in football than I'll ever know. I'm not debating their intelligence on football, but their ability to even just have a conversation about football is just jarring. Like, Solak comes across like he knows everything and he's not wrong and we're dumb. And, you know, can't help this, but his voice is terrible on podcasts.
Yep.
And in Ruiz, that quarterback rankings, I mean, that list made its way onto the Colin Cowherd's radio show, and they made fun of it. They just flat out made fun of the list. And I get it. You want to be different than these other, you know, you don't want to have the same thoughts. Groupthink's not good. Like, spice it up a little bit. There's a difference between a hot take and, like, does this guy watch football? And Ruiz's list got to, do you watch football? And is someone reading your articles before you're putting them out? It was like, Bill, I'm not even sure these two, like, know what how to even – talk about football. Why are you having them on? Like, how is this the best you can do? Like, the Ringer is a pretty big platform. Like, that's all you got for us?
No, it's shocking. And I'll never forget that. I mean, and I'm sure you were the same way. Bill leaves ESPN, gets fired, whatever. He has his break for probably a year. It seemed like it was a
It
while.
was a while, yeah.
And so like I'm so pumped for his HBO show. The commercials come out. It's like the tagline is the sport of conversation. You know, he attempts to go hard in that interview, in that initial commercial with his I believe speech. So we get that on one burner, and then we get the Ringer on the other, and I'm like, damn, like the Ringer is gonna be even better than Grantland because it's Bill on his own. It's not under the ESPN umbrella. They can be brash, they can say what they want. And then it's just such a massive disappointment, both the website and the TV show. And that really just kind of left a bad taste, I think, in the mouths of a lot of Bill Simmons fans. And then when you add it to the degradation of the pod, as we've just described, you do have this fan base in 2024 that, yes, we're listening to him and we're going to the subreddit to see what people are saying about the podcasts just out of habit, but not really because we're loving it as much, because we don't like it as much as we used to.
Yeah, and not only is his current talent there, not up to snuff, he's like lost the disconnect to speak to some of them even. Recently, I might have been a couple months ago, he had Sheil Kapadia on, who I actually do enjoy. And Sheil is, he clearly understands football to a higher degree, and he's like breaking down this stuff. They're talking about the Eagles and it's pretty good. Like, Shield's really bringing some good insight here. He's, done his homework, and Bill follows up a comment. Like, Shield goes on this like 2 minute like spiel about some in-depth analysis, and Bill goes, "Yeah, why aren't they having fun? Why aren't they running the plays that work?" And I'm like, that's what you're talking to Shield about? Like, he is about like X's and O's, and your commentary back is, "Why don't they run plays that work?" It's like, did you even try, Bill? Even a little? It's like, I get it, you're not the X's and O's guys, Bill, but like, don't bring that guy on to have a one-on-one conversation then. Because you can't have that conversation with Solak and Ruiz because they're not good at having casual conversation.
It's so bad. And I love it because I'll finish up the history of your tweets with this, which jives perfectly with what you just said, which I love this one. And I tweet, we might have even tweeted each other at this one, but in December of this past year, head coach Bill Simmons is here to once again tell us that he is smarter than all NFL coaches. I mean, this guy, he doesn't understand the game, and yet acts like he's smarter than everybody else. It's insane. So it's the no knowledge piece mixed with the arrogance factor is crazy. I mean, unbelievable. And then maybe one more here to finish this one up. You've got a tweet for November. Bill, it's 2023 and sports gambling is legal. People barely care about their own fantasy teams, let alone yours. And then Bill, I mean this in the nicest way. Not a single soul on earth cares about your fantasy team. I heard more about your team than I spent on my own fantasy team this year. So it's just like that's what his pod has turned into. And so basically what Guess the Lines is these days is bitching about fantasy and gambling losses for 80% of the time. 20% might be the gambling wins, whatever, we don't care. And then complaining about coaches, complaining about QBs, acting like you're smarter, acting like you just run the one play and it works. What are, like, to use their parlance, what are we even doing here? Why are we even listening to the Guess the Lines anymore?
I think those tweets like just 100% sum up like how I feel about that podcast. Like, 20 years ago, fantasy football was coming a big deal, and it was cool to like hear him talk about it, and everyone's super into it. He talks about his team all the time as if the audience wants to hear it. It's like, it was funny at first, it had its role. Why are you like, we don't want to hear it. So it's him talking about his fantasy team, and well, if that player is on his fantasy team, he understands if the player is good or not. He watches them all the time. And so then I get it. it's easy to, you know, his shtick for a while was like making fun of bad GMs, making fun of bad NBA coaches. If you, it's easy to make fun of NFL coaches for the timeouts, for the clock management. That stuff every average Joe like could see it's wrong, right? For him to sit there and to be like, well, you know, the Patriots would just take Travis Kelce out of the game. I don't know why other coaches don't do it. Without giving one example on how the Patriots do it, giving one example of what the team was trying to do coverage-wise, he's just like, that coach is stupid. I can't believe they don't do it. It's like, Bill, you couldn't even explain the zone blocking scheme to us. Like, how are you going to sit here and call all these NFL coaches idiots? It's like, you really think you're, he, I think he truly thinks he's smarter than these coaches.
I know. I would just love so like someone's got to challenge him on it at some point. Some guest is going to come on. It's got to be a one-off guest that, you know, whatever, he has somebody on, some former player or something or coach, and then just, you know, kind of does a house to him, house KD to him, because it's bad. I mean, the arrogance factor is just insane with this guy, and that's a big reason why I started this pod in the first place is I have to chronicle what's happened here because I don't think it used to be like this. And another thing, and you've mentioned this too on your tweets, but I won't read the exact one, but another thing we want to talk about, it actually doesn't seem like Bill likes the NFL much anymore. And so I've been kind of having this thought too. I've tweeted about this, other people have agreed, where basically now that the Pats are bad, I think Bill essentially views the NFL as he can do a podcast about it during the season. It's gambling, it's fantasy, it's providing FanDuel advertisement. So again, it's kind of transactional, going back to what we previously talked about. I'm not sure he even likes the sport because it does not come across in his podcast that he is a fan of football.
I think you nailed it. This was the first year that I felt that way listening to him. At one point in the middle of the season, I actually went to myself, does Bill even like the NFL? Because his team's terrible and he's never like really experienced this for the last 2 decades. So that's like killed his fandom. He hates his own team. He's just bitching about the quarterback play and the coaches and his picks. It's like, well, what are you enjoying here? Like, I get it. Everyone gets mad about their own team. Like, I'm a Steeler fan. It's, you know, it's easy to, you know, poke fun at, you know, Tomlin here or there, or complain about the offensive coordinator. But at the end of the day, I still loved watching the games and, you know, watching, you know, every week plan out, and, you know, the national TV games. I was into all of them, and I just generally really like football. I was excited about it, and I really just don't have an interest in like hearing someone bitch about every like goof up a coach makes, or, you know, how bad the quarterback play is. Like, he was sitting here saying like Trevor Lawrence is like, is he even a top 20 quarterback? It's like, are you even watching any of these games, Bill? Because it sounds like you just like, your team sucks. I like gambling and I'll just throw on a pod, but I don't have, like, do you even like football? Maybe he doesn't love it because his team's not any good, and like, he has to truthfully know. He doesn't really know he's watching. Like, most fans aren't, you know, X's and O's savants. It's a very complex game, and he clearly like never played it. And so like, does he just have no interest in like trying to understand it? Because a lot of fans do. There's content out there teaching fans, like, you know, they're breaking down films, or, you know, trying to explain what the, you know, the play was on this, you know, design. And it seems like he has no interest in like, you know, expanding his horizons on understanding football. Like, your analysis cannot be knows what to do, where to go, and just run that play where they take Travis Kelce out. Like, I get it. There are probably plays to do that, but as a fan, why wouldn't you want to understand what they're trying to do? Like, you do a lot of football content. Like, try a little harder to know what's going on.
No, it is such the basic stuff where in 2024 we have so many media resources that the only reason you'd be listening to Bill is for the back and forth with Sal, which look, I'll be honest, that has been fun over the course of the BS Pod history. That's been incredibly fun, but I do feel like they used to know the games a little bit more, or at least it seemed like they did. It does not seem like they do in 2024. And then I think this leads into the next point we wanted to discuss, which is Bill's growing arrogance about being right, not admitting L's, and basically being annoyed when someone questions him. This has been an epidemic on the BS pod lately, and it makes for a worse podcast because when you don't have that free-flowing conversation with guests, it's just not as interesting of a pod. And I think this has been plaguing Bill with Sal, with the Ringer lackeys, with Russillo. It's just a constant annoyance, and the guests have to little tiptoe a little bit because they don't want to piss Bill off, because they don't want to, call out an L. The only guys doing it are the longtime personal friends' house.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That was a big thing this year too. I like it when the content creators, if they take a swing and they're wrong, that's fine. We're just making predictions. Everyone's wrong. And he came back from, I'm taking 7 weeks off. I'm doing all my homework. He came out with an NFL pod. He picked the Ravens to miss the playoffs, the Bills. He thought the Lions would stink. He picked the Pats to make the playoffs. There was another crazy pick he had. And it wasn't even like, oh, he's taking a swing. It's like, did you even like look into anything for 10 minutes? Like these are pretty insane, Bill. Like a lot of things have to go wrong for these teams to be bad. It's just like you probably don't like them. And so this plays out horribly. Like it's one of the worst NFL predictions I've ever heard. And he like basically didn't acknowledge it all year, and not a single guest like threw it in his face. Because he like throws a temper tantrum and gets all pissy, and when people like call him out and or disagree with him, his response is his like his only child syndrome of yeah, and he just changes the convo. It's like his inability to make fun of himself.
Yeah, so I don't think that Jacoby has been back on the podcast where Bill went ahead and with the Patriots take and Jacoby laughed at him in that podcast. I'm pretty sure he's not been back.
I don't. I'm actually not sure if he has. I'm not a huge Jacoby fan, and I was like, oh man, he's just gonna get in this pod and disagree with Bill and everything. But when he like called him out for the crazy takes, that was one with Wilds. I was like, oh man, this is great. Like he's just not gonna put up with like the craziness, and I don't think he's been back.
And what's funny to me is like I think those like I criticize Simmons a lot these days, but the pods with Wilds and Jacoby I love because I feel like Bill will always have this like pretense and this air of, oh, I'm better than First Take. I'm not doing First Take. I'm doing a level of analysis above First Take. But when he gets with Wilds and Jacoby, he fully admits to doing First Take, and they just do First Take together. Wilds throwing out obviously like half-baked ideas, and Wilds does first things first. So they're fine all giving their hot takes on that pod, and it makes it fun. But yeah, I do think Jacoby might have gone a little hard on Bill for what Bill's used to, and so he hasn't been back.
He hasn't back. I like it. I'm with you. I like it when he has his couple buddies on and they just fire off some hot takes. And you know what you're signing up for when you go to listen to it. They have great chemistry. They've been friends for so long. But then, and Bill like admits it's what we're doing, just half-baked ideas. But then he'll get on with a more serious conversation with Russillo or anybody else at the Ringer or outside guests for basketball stuff. And he's like, we're not First Take. And he tried. But all his takes are just like asinine. It's like you're giving hot takes, but getting mad when people are saying you're giving hot takes because you don't know how to give anything else right now because you're not really paying attention. And to give an actual thoughtful take, you have to like do homework. And he's just like not paying close enough attention to what's going on. So that's all he can give is like it's considered a hot take for people who like follow the league. It's like, well, that's pretty crazy to say, Bill. Like, how can you be so dead set that you're right? Like, that's kind of a crazy take.
And look, NBA Twitter, I mean, these guys, they, I'm not even sure a lot of them listen to Bill Simmons, but when a Bill Simmons quote gets out there, I mean, everybody aggregates it. I'm part of the aggregation culture now. Awful announcement gets up there, NBA Central. I mean, it's all over the place. So the Bill Simmons take factory That is going strong. No matter if he wants, if he wants to downplay it, no. The Bill Simmons Take Factory up and running, and this thing is a behemoth. And he, I would say he is the biggest NBA take artist out there. I don't think maybe there's a Stephen A out there. Maybe there's a, I mean, I wouldn't even say Skip is NBA. I think the only other person maybe is Stephen A. Maybe JJ is kind of, well, that's another reason why Bill might not be too happy with JJ is JJ's kind of on his turf. When JJ says something on First Take, it goes viral.
Yeah, and with the takes, Bill for years was like, aggregators, don't aggregate this, don't aggregate this. And I can see why that's frustrating, but Bill's never made it easier to have himself aggregated because he's just like, some of the stuff he says, it's like, what? That's insane. Like, how can you like reasonably think that's like a good idea? And so it's really easy to clip it and go. And it's like, Bill, you're just setting yourself up to be aggregated because, that's what the internet does, but it's like, you're saying some crazy shit, Bill. Like, of course they're gonna just r run with that. How could you get mad?
Yeah, he should know what he's getting into. Okay, another one he wanted to hit on. So I don't think we've discussed Coward that much on the show. So I want to discuss that and give the floor to you for that within the context of you've mentioned you're a big Coward fan, big Russillo fan. So yeah, what and maybe throw Nick Wright in there if he's potentially someone. But yeah, so where do you see? So we've kind of discussed for the first, majority of this podcast, what we see as Bill Simmons in 2024, how is he measuring up to peers? What are these other guys doing? And are any of them eclipsing Bill Simmons in your view?
So I brought that up because that's kind of his peer group, in my opinion, right? They're all around the same age. They kind of hit like a national market around the same time period. So they're kind of going through it all together. And so I'm a big Coward fan, and I've probably been listening to him for 10, 11 years as well, back when he was on ESPN. And I disagree with so much of what Cowherd says, but at the same time, I can't quit Cowherd because one, he's entertaining. And two, I feel like he's trying, right? Like I feel like he's bringing it every day. Like he's doing a daily radio show, but I feel like he's putting out good content. He's doing the homework. He's trying to be interesting. And funny enough, we've talked about Bill not evolving. I feel like Cowherd is making a concerted effort to evolve as the years go by. He's on a simulcast, so it's kind of a radio show, right? You're in front of a camera, but he's also started his volume. Podcast network, everything's on YouTube. He has video with everything. So he's like embraced that fully. And Coward has some strong opinions and he says some crazy shit. And sometimes I'm just like, oh my gosh, how can, like, do you even believe that? But at the same time, like, he literally has a segment calling right, calling wrong. He calls himself out and he makes fun of himself and he doesn't take it too seriously. So it's like, all right. Coward's in the same line here. I have to be interesting, but at the same time, I can't come across as like a know-it-all or a hard ass, and I'm never wrong. And so he's just doesn't take it too seriously, and he's kind of just evolved with where content's going, a lot more video, admit defeat here. Sometimes if depending on the topic, I feel like Coward just came to the show and whatever they told him in prep, that's what he's spitting out there. But he doesn't have an arrogance about it. And funny you mentioned Nick Wright because I used to be a much bigger Nick Wright fan, but in the last like 6 months, I feel like he's developed a Bill Simmons arrogance thing. And
Interesting.
Nick always references Simmons on his show. He's a Simmons fan. He likes his podcast. And I'm like, you're kind of becoming Simmons in the fact that like you will have a take. It's clearly not going right. You've clearly just it might have been wrong from the beginning. And you're just not gonna die. You're gonna die on the hill, and you're gonna belittle people who disagree with you. And it's like, it's funny. It's like you're becoming the guy you enjoy. And it's like your media audience, like the content consumer, they don't want to be talked down to and belittled. So it's like you gotta stray that line. You gotta have a take, have a stance, but you can't talk down to people.
That is very interesting. So yeah, so you're thinking that ironically that Coward as sort of the radio guy, you would feel like, okay, he's doing a simulcast radio show. That is more of kind of old school media, whereas what Bill is doing is newer. But even with that, Coward is delivering a kind of more in the future type of work than what Bill Simmons is doing.
Yeah, and Cowherd mentions it all the time. Like he's like, you either evolve or die. Like you have to keep progressing and finding new ways. And it's like that's the business side of the content. The content is like the main course here, but you have to get the business side of things to keep having success. And Cowherd, whether you like his takes, his content, whatever, he's pushing himself to the next level of, all right, this is where we're going in media. This is what the consumer wants. How can I meet that demand? And Bill is like just like not paying attention to the business side of it. It's like he's just like, this is what I've done, this is what I've always done, and I'm gonna keep doing it. It's like, well, you've stopped evolving, and him and Coward are roughly the same age. It's like the one guy gets it, he's like not becoming the old guy in the room, and the other guy is like kind of becoming the old guy in the room.
And that's a shame, because Bill was not that guy. Bill was the guy coming up with fresh ideas. 30 for 30, Grantland, even The Ringer, fine. It didn't work. Well, it worked for his bank account, but is it as popular in the culture as Grantland? No, it's not. You could also say, what else has Bill done? I mean, even the Grantland Basketball Hour wasn't great, but at least he was trying new
Yeah.
things. What? Maybe in 2024, he is trying new things in the form of the walk and talk short. Maybe that's the one thing he's doing.
It's like a it's like it's half baked a way of evolving. It's like they're funny. I watch them, but it's like you like just went to this area of video content like that nobody really wanted and like nobody asked for, and I'm not sure it's going to catch on, but I mean I guess you try, but it's like you could have just done regular YouTube videos, Bill, but like it was like you wanted to do your own thing and like buck the trend and be like, F it, I know what I'm doing. But it's like, do you like your power walk in LA, they're not that great. They're funny, but like they're funny for me because I'm a long time Simmons fan. Like, are you going to draw the attention of someone who's never really consumed you?
Yeah, that's a great point. Probably not. It's really just for it's maintaining his audience. It's not growing it.
Yeah, and you mentioned Russillo there as well, and prime Russillo, in my opinion, was the radio show with SVP. It's hard to top that, but I'm a big Ryan fan. I he he tells us he puts in the work, so he puts in the work, but he's a fun listen. He's informed. He is actually pretty anti-hot takey. He just that's not for him. But we're at that time of year now where it's the Sunday pod with those two, and it's like reached the point where it's like Ryan is like trying to show us how smart he is, and then Bill is like dumbing it down too far, and it's like two people just like talking to each other but not having the same conversation.
Okay, so you feel that, because I don't know if you've seen it, but I have a meme of a game of Pong, and I go, the Russillo Simmons podcasts, and one is Russillo monologue and the other is Simmons monologue, and it's just a game of Pong back and forth because they're never actually jiving with each other. So do you
Yeah.
feel like that is happening in 2024?
I do, and I didn't feel that last year. Their pod together last year was my favorite pod of the year. Like I could not wait until they put it out. I loved it. I started to feel it the last few weeks, and I'm listening to today's, and like 20 minutes in, I'm like, has anybody said anything? Like I don't think it's I'm like, this wasn't it hasn't been bad, but it's like nobody has said anything interesting, and like they're not even really like talking to each other. It's like just two people talking, but it's like they're not talking to each other. They're like speaking at each other. It's like, why do you have no chemistry right now?
Oh, very interesting. Okay, so because look, I'll full disclaimer for the audience, I'm not listening to much of these Russillo Bill pods because I'm not listening to much Bill anyway. I don't listen to much Bill on the NBA. So these are really not in my wheelhouse in terms of pods to listen to. I catch some of it here and there, but I'm depending on the Twitter audience and the people I have in this podcast to tell me about the Russolo pods. I saw a tweet from Trill Bro Dude today. He said Bill and Russolo in 2024, and it's a Hakeem and Ewing going against each other on the Magic and the Raptors. So I had used that same meme for Guess the Lines in 2024. So it's not just you. I'm definitely seeing more of this both on the Twitter and on the subreddit that people are not that happy with Bill and Russolo these days.
And not to just poke at Bill here, but it does feel like it's a Bill problem. Like Ryan is clearly like following a lead. You could, he has good stuff on his own pod, and he's locked in, and he could pretty much talk about anything if you wanted to speak to him about it. And it's like he's trying to like pull out a good conversation, but like Bill just doesn't like have, he's not offering enough. Like it's just the same like basic topics. Like there's a silly LeBron thing, or they're talking the Celtics, or it's just a very like dumbed down narrative on something in general on the league. And it's like, that's fine, I don't need like super in-depth stuff, that's not what I'm here for. But it's like, it's almost like you're not even doing the bare minimum here, Bill, to have a conversation with Ryan. It's like me, whose job is not to watch sports, could probably pull more out of this with Ryan than you are, because it's like you're just watching the Celtics and like following the league from a Twitter box score, NBA.com like high level. And it's like, you're just not going to be able to pull off a conversation with Russillo, like doing that kind of legwork, because he's like way too into it. And he just, that's not the way he has conversation with people. And Bill, of all people, should know that. So it's like, what are we doing here? Like, or I wonder if Ryan is now getting frustrated with Bill at this point on their podcast.
Yeah, I've had that conversation a lot, both on the pod and off the pod, because I think people are realizing they're going, wait a second, Russolo is giving up a podcast a week to do this, right? Because he does three pods a
Right.
week typically, but he will do the two pods a week with Bill on the Sunday pod during the NBA season. And I'm sure that's contracted and he's getting paid for it fine, but. And I always ask this in the pod, but like the question is that if Russillo has outlived the usefulness of essentially the marketing by being on Bill's pod, which I think he has, because I think his pod's doing really well.
Yeah.
If Russillo's outlived that, then not only is he giving, like, it'd be one thing if he was only giving up his pod, but the conversations were really fun, great chemistry, snap your finger, 2 hours went by. I don't think that's the case these days.
Yeah, I'm sure at one point they started doing it just was fun for Russillo, like Bill's his buddy, like talking hoops, like Ryan loves that kind of stuff. That's why he's in this field. It when I was listening today, it felt like Ryan was at work. Like it was just like this feels like just so difficult to draw out like a fun back and forth, because like Bill is just not, he's just not, he doesn't have a good enough idea of what like is going on for Ryan to like really talk the things he wants to talk. Like Bill is just like driving everything like a LeBron jab, the Celtics. There's 20 minutes on the Nuggets every time, and it's like this is supposed to be an NBA all hitting pod for like the last week. The last 7 days have gone by. What are we going to talk about? Like just last week, they're on it. And they're talking about a Celtics game from like 4 days earlier that I think Ryan had already covered on his pod. And it was like, what are we doing here, Bill? Like there are other teams like Russillo, like can is a great guest for Bill to have, right? Like has all this knowledge on the league, is watching all these games. They could take this in a million different directions. And it's honestly like a hot take, like the first take show. It's like main three, main three topics that people will have an interest in, and we'll wrap it. It's like, does Ryan really want to do this again next year? Like this, I can't be enjoying that.
Couldn't agree more. And I think we're going to have more and more people on the sub coming on this podcast on Twitter that will echo that, because it just isn't the same. All right, man. We went through everything we originally wanted to touch on. I think we crushed it. I had a blast doing this. Anything else that we did not cover that we want to cover?
I don't think so. I think we hit on all of it. Like, I think the one thing that I hope for Bill in the next year, somebody gets in his ear, and for him, he's starting these video shorts. He's like making some kind of effort. Like, I hope that what he does next is just reimagines his football content. Like, I know Schrager follows your account online. Hopefully he like involves him a little more and get just spice it up. It got super stale. So hopefully Bill comes across this pod and this Twitter feed and the Reddit feed, and can just take some constructive criticism. Like, as he says, these are his readers.
He's blocked this Twitter account, but I did just see that he on his second most recent podcast, not the Rosillo one, but most recently, he said he's now doing TikToks, which my guest Zach specifically said they should be doing TikToks. So maybe he actually is listening. Who knows? If you're listening, Bill, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we just want better for you, Bill. That's all. But no, this was a blast, Tribe. It was great to come on and just talk air out our Bill Simmons grievances as super fans. But this was a blast. I think we hit on a ton of good stuff. I'd love to do this again in the future.
Yeah, and that's really what this podcast is for. People go, like, even someone today, they replied to a tweet of mine. They're like, "Oh, I follow this account. I thought it was a Bill Simmons fan page, and it's actually a Bill Simmons hate page, like question mark." And it's like, "No. Like this is going to be a great pod to like intro people into what the podcast is about. This is a good episode for that because we're not saying that we hate Bill Simmons. What we're saying is that this man was a legend, is a legend, is a living legend, gave us incredible sports memories and enjoyment for over a decade, but yet the current iteration just isn't what we want it to be. And so because we're, whether we think it can get better, whether we just can't believe it's gone downhill so much, whatever it is, there needs to be sort of a place for people to gather to air out these grievances, which is why this podcast, which is why R. Bill Simmons itself, and you've been on the sub too, right? Because I've seen some of your tweets. You had screenshots of the sub. Like, we need places like these because the joy that we once got from Simmons is gone, and it's a tough pill to swallow.
It is, and unlike sports, though, it doesn't. When it goes, it doesn't mean it has to completely go. Like, he can turn it around, and maybe it is gone, but he's the reason all these other people have these forums and have these platforms, and the podcast space is what it is. Bill Simmons literally created this. He was the first guy to hit on it, so it'd be great if he could just kind of rekindle some of the magic that made it so awesome. I mean, that would be unbelievable to see again, and then the new generation could really see, like, this is the Podfather. That's why they call him the Podfather.
That's all we're hoping for. So, Bill, if you're listening, that's what we're hoping for. We'll end it on a nice positive note there. We're saying good things here. So for everybody who says, Tribe, you're just hating on Bill, whether they say it in the subreddit or in comments in this pod, no, I'm not hating. I just want him to return to the form that made us love him in the first place. So yeah, Doug, fantastic time. I had a blast. Really appreciate you giving up some of your time to do this. And any final words for the R. Bill Simmons fan base here?
No, I think that's it. Just keep the criticism coming if you have it. I think, there's nothing wrong with some hard coaching. So, Bill's a better coach than us, but maybe he'll take it.
All right, love it, man. Well, enjoyed it. Cheers to the audience, and we'll see you back on this podcast feed very shortly.
Awesome. Thanks again, man. Had a blast. Talk to you later.
All right, cheers.